Okay, this morning it was asked by Step to talk on Revelation 7 as we continue our study of Revelation. And I'm going to talk from verses 9 to 17. That's verses 9 to 17. I'll just read the passage of Scripture and then we'll begin by unpacking it. It says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessings, and glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these astrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are on the throne of God, and serve him night and day in his temple. And he who sits upon the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This morning I want to have a look into what is the Great Tribulation. What tribulations do you face on your journey toward the heavenly kingdom? The exciting bit is to look at, well, hold on a minute, tribulations are going to come. What is an overcomer? Who is it for? How can you overcome trials and tribulations that come up against you in life? And what is the reward for standing fast, standing firm, holding tight, and overcoming? My main point this morning, which we'll unpack as we go through this, is wash the tribulations of this life in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. He has overcome the world. And thus, when I dwell with him, I am an overcomer in Christ Jesus. So what is the Great Tribulation? The word tribulation in Greek is, excuse my pronunciation for any Greek scholars here, thlipsis. And that means metamorphic oppression, affliction, distress, dire straits. The Great Tribulation has been explained in several ways. Some believe it refers to the suffering of believers throughout the ages. Others believe there's a specific period of time of intense tribulation which is yet to come. In either case, these believers come through their times of suffering by remaining loyal to God, by remaining loyal. Because they remain faithful, God give them eternal life with him. Like it says in verse 17, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So what tribulations do you face on your journey from A to B. The Bible tells us that we will experience trials and tribulations. Of that, you can be assured. It says in John's Gospel 16:13, I have said these things to you, that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What a wonderful verse to inscribe into your mental capacity. Mentally rehearse that when you come up against trial and tribulations, have that word ingrained upon your heart, for that will give you life. The word of God gives life. It is living waters. John 16:13. So here are a few examples of tribulations that you could have. This list is not exhaustive. We all face disappointments. There's disappointments could come, for example, in your work life. You apply for a job and you're unsuccessful. I myself experienced great disappointment 2 weeks ago at Hampden Park when Aberdeen were absolutely superb. Man for man, they matched Glasgow Celtic. The fans outsung them. But lo and behold, a certain Australian, Tom Rogic, came on and 2 minutes into injury time, put an absolute dagger through the heart of every Aberdonian in the ground. That was hard to overcome. But I'm sure we've all faced different disappointments. We all face disasters from time to time. And this could come, globally speaking, in the form of natural disasters, like earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, wars, famines, etc. Disaster could also look like burning the dinner when you're exercising your gift of hospitality, when you're welcoming around friends or indeed family. We will face despair as well. The verb despair means losing hope. Who here has lost hope? When we lose hope, we get blocked from seeing things in the heavenly perspective. We think in the flesh instead of the spirit. And when we think on those terms, we face despair, and it's hard to see past it. And despair can manifest itself in many different ways. For example, people could be physically in despair in terms of an ailment or indeed an illness, or mentally, they just can't get any clarity at all. Just a few things then in terms of tribulations. Now, if we have trials and tribulations, we also have overcomers. So what is an overcomer? According to the Oxford English Dictionary, it is a person who overcomes, is a conqueror or a victor. What does it say in the Bible, people? We are more than conquerors in Christ. Overcomers are followers of Christ who have successfully resisted the power and temptation of the world system. Now, an important bit to remember here is not to be too harsh on yourself. An overcomer is not sinless. But the overcomer does have one quality. And it is, they hold fast to the faith in Christ until the end. They see the race out. They have got the joy of achievement. And that is something that we don't get often in society nowadays. Society wants you to have a scatterbrain approach where you're doing a million different things at once. Oh no, stop. Complete, finish the race. Get the joy of achievement. The overcomer does not turn away when things get difficult. The overcomer stands firm. The overcomer stands their ground and stands and fights. The Greek word often translated for overcomer stands from the word Nike, which has a great wee saying, just do it. That's good for an overcomer, just do it. Feel the fear and do it anyway, Susan Jeffers says, just do it. And according to Strong's Concordance, this means to carry off the victory. The verb implies that you're going through a battle. The Bible teaches Christians to recognize that the world is a battleground, not a playground. However, God does not leave you defenseless. God provides, as explained in Ephesians 6:11-17, he describes about the armor that is available to all believers. Scattered throughout the narrative there is the animation to stand firm. Sometimes it takes all to overcome temptation, but if you stand firm and just refuse to be drawn into it. James 4 verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Church, give him no time. Do not dwell on the muck that he throws up against you. It says in the Bible, my sheep know my voice. When that accuser and that liar speaks to you, be alert and you will know if you're moving in the spirit. That is not the voice of the King. Reject it, cut it off, sever it at its source. Say, be gone, and he will go from you. The darkness cannot abide where the light is. So keep your lights on. An overcomer is one who resists sin, no matter what the lures of the devil is. So who is overcoming for? Overcoming, and this is a great thing, is for everybody. Like it says in verse 9, it's for all nations, all tribes, all peoples, and all tongues. Interesting when we look at that, the setup of these people, they were dressed in white robes. They had been washed in the purifying blood of Jesus. How crazy is that? Blood that washes. Let there be blood stained rags. But this is purification. And they were waving palm branches. This symbolized victory, triumph, peace, and eternal life. The question is then, how do you overcome tribulations? The important thing to do is to wash yourself in the blood of the Lamb. Like it says in verse 14, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. As I said just moments ago, in the world, it's hard to imagine how blood, dark red usually in colour, could possibly wash your robes and turn them pure white. The blood of the Lamb, I'll say it again, is the best purifier because it removes the stain of sin. It removes it completely. The white symbolizes the sinless perfection of holiness, which can only be given to people by the sinless Lamb of God on our behalf. That reminds me of a gospel song I heard one night. I'm not singing because I'm a terrible singer. And the song, the words of the song were, the chorus was, wash me in the blood of the Lamb and I will be whiter than the snow. And on it goes. You may know of it. Another key thing in terms of overcoming is to put on the armour of God. Be prepared for the tribulations. They will come. Be aware. A good soldier is switched on and is alert. Give yourself the resources and protection needed to defeat the enemy and to overcome the trials coming your way. Know your enemy. Have a plan to overcome. Give yourself today a winning strategy. By putting on the armor of God, you can't lose. Prayer is also a very important component for the overcomer. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It says in Romans 10 and 13, call out Call out to him. He's got ears willing to hear you. This is a great antidote when you're going through trials and tribulations, to connect to God. He's Snapchatting you this morning, Caroline. He's WhatsApping you, Rachel. Connect with him. You're connected. Nice one. You're on the Wi-Fi. Jehovah Jireh won. Pastor.
Frog the door.
Sweet as a nut. Important as well is to rejoice in the hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Like it says in Romans 12:12, constantly in connection with the King. Why would you not want to be? Distraction, distraction, distraction. Instead of worrying when we go through tribulations, discipline yourself to pray. Make prayer a priority, not the last gasp thing when the Mihailovich hits the van, so to speak. No, no, no. Make it your priority. Why worry when you can seek counsel from the King of Kings? Exercise your faith. If you really believe it, connect to him. Make it your priority. Philippians 4 and 16 sums this up perfectly. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. With prayer, we can also profit from our trials and tribulations. How do you see trials and tribulations this morning? Have you got the glasses on that can see an opportunity in this? If we look to the passage in James 1:2-8, it says, "My brethren, count it an all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." And just relax with patience. Be comfortable with being patient. Very tricky in today's society. We want it now. We live in an instant age, instant gratification. We're all graduates now of the University of Google. Nobody is patient enough to go and read a book. You just simply just type it in, search, bang. And the search engine delivers that. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave on the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from God. He is a double-minded man, usually unstable in all of his ways. So get your equilibrium from God. Be balanced in God. Be stable. Stand on the rock that doesn't roll. Another important point in terms of looking at how do you become an overcomer is, again, to focus on Jesus, to look to the Lord. When we feel stuck, we feel a sense of hopelessness. We can't see a way out. And the words of Matthew are very encouraging. It was from Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." There is no trial, no tribulation too big for God. Nothing, nothing at all. No matter what your situation is, regardless what you're going through, God can turn it around. When we feel weak, look to the Lord. He is your strength. In fact, it's an advantage to feel weak, because in your weakness, he is made perfectly strong. Don't allow the devil to play mind games with you. Look to the Lord. Stop him dead in his tracks. Sever him off at the source. Submit yourself before the Lord. As I said earlier, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The important thing is as well in terms of being an overcomer is not to panic. Do not panic when trials and tribulations come. They're coming. That's okay. That's fine. No weapon that is fashioned against you will succeed. You shall confute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Hold fast, stand firm. The Lord is your helper. And it says again in Isaiah, for I, the Lord God, hold your right hand. Wow. Man, just pause there for a second. Could you imagine going through a trial and tribulation and knowing that God is holding your right hand? How would you feel? What impact would it make on the situation? How would you view things then? You'd have a completely different perspective, wouldn't you? To actually truly believe that. Fear not, I am the one who helps you. It's also important to throw all of your trust into the Lord. When you're walking through trials, lean into Jesus. Put your trust in the God who never, ever lies. He's never done it, and he's never going to do it. What a picture of integrity, of trustworthiness. Like it says in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It's interesting, we're in times of trial and tribulation, how we become confused. We don't know how to get out. Do you want an antidote to it? Trust in the Lord. All of your heart, everything, give him it all. He wants to take it off you. Don't lean on your own understanding. No, get understanding from the King, not your own. Because your own understanding will only entangle you further. He will make your path straight. No matter what your trial or tribulation is, your mighty deliverer is standing by. No matter what it is. My mum's laughing down there. When my granny went to be with the Lord in August, she was she had Alzheimer's and she had a touch of Parkinson's, but she was lying in that bed, and about 3 weeks before she died, they didn't give her any food. She lost her mental capacity to swallow. They could have drip fed her, but they said no. But my mum used to go and say to her, Granny Jean, your mighty deliverer is standing by. Your mighty deliverer is standing by. And it encouraged her. She responded, Mum, didn't she? Yeah. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord delivers them out of them all. Psalm 34:19. So knowing all these things about the Lord Jesus Christ, be confident in him. Be confident in Jesus. Don't throw away your confidence in God. Put your confidence in Jesus. He has never let you down, and he's not going to start letting you down. Be clear on this. Clarity equals confidence. When you're clear in something, you can be confident in it. Your performance shifts dramatically. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. And that's from Hebrews 10:35. Take confidence in the Bible. It is the Word of God. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Knowing that, then, it's important also to be strong and courageous. One of my favourite verses in the Bible, if you're allowed to have one, is one that God really spoke to me when I was going through a time of tribulation in my own life, when my first daughter, Skye, was promoted to glory. And God told me that day to be strong and to take courage in my heart for all of those whose hope is in the Lord. And that's from Psalm 31:24. But being strong and courageous is also a command from God. It says in Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened." Why be frightened? Why be timid? "And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That is so encouraging. No matter what you're facing, He's got your hand. He's with you everywhere you go. Powerful stuff. From that, then, we should experience joy coming forward. If you know He's with you, He's holding your hand, why not be joyful? You're walking with the King. Stand, rejoice in the hope of glory of the Lord. We just sung that this morning, that song. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of glory. More than that, we rejoice in all of our sufferings, knowing that these sufferings produce endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Romans 5:2-5. Powerful stuff. Trials and tribulations don't last forever, church. They pass. See them as an opportunity to refine yourself, to shape your character. Walk through them. The King is walking beside you. You have nothing to fear. It's also important as well to encourage one another in the church. Have you ever faced a trial or tribulation and someone has got alongside you and encouraged you in the Lord? How do you feel after receiving that? And you know it's from God speaking directly into your heart. Encouragement like that gives us the energy to press on through. Encouragement changes lives. So be aware and be alert. The next time you see a brother or sister going through a trial or tribulation, go to the Lord and ask them for a word of encouragement for them. When you get it, be diligent. Go and deliver it to them. Encourage them on their journey. It says in Acts 14:22, "Strengthen the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." That's how you become an overcomer. Now, when you become an overcomer, there is a reward at the end of it. And it's the best reward that anyone could ever hope or dream of. It is a reward of eternal life. Not just any eternal life, it's an eternal life spent in heaven in the presence of Jesus. It says in that passage, "Therefore, they are all before the throne of God and serve Him night and day in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them into springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." There's no better reward than that. You're never ever going to get better than that. God will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh for all of our needs in our eternal home. No more hunger, no more thirst, no more pain. He will wipe every tear away. Take comfort in this the next time that you are suffering or being torn apart by sorrow. The Lord is promising you complete protection and relief. Trials and tribulations are temporary. The Lord is eternal. Take heart, the best is yet to come. Throughout this chapter, we see believers receiving a seal to protection, and that came in the first bit there, 1-8, although I didn't read it. And through the great tribulation and the suffering. In verses 9 to 17, we see believers finally with the Lord in heaven. All those who have been faithful throughout the ages are singing before God's throne. Their tribulation and sorrows are over. They're finished. They're gone. There's no more tears for suffering. For suffering is over. There's no more tears for death because he's overcome the world. It's gone. For they are now dwelling in the land of the living. I love the verse in Romans 8 and 28. And we know that those who love the Lord God, all things will work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So hold tight to the Lord. The best is yet to come. The trials and tribulations that we walk through are nothing, nothing at all compared to the glory that awaits us. Knowing this, what reward is coming for the overcomer, it should fill us with peace. And this is the peace that passes all understanding. A peace which is anchored deeper and deeper and deeper within the Lord. A peace that the world can't give. A peace that nothing can give apart from God. And it says in Philippians 4 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. What a God. Isn't that, when you just think about that, giving you everything you need to overcome anything that is thrown at you. Anything at all. What you've got to do is ask. Be diligent. Be switched on. And he's there. Can I hold your hand, Paul? Of course. Brilliant. So in conclusion, trials and tribulations are coming. That's okay. Stand firm. Say to these things, I am an overcomer in Christ, for he has overcome the world. Tell them that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Where the blood is marked, the enemy cannot trespass. Be aware. Put on your gospel armor. Converse with the king. During the battle, look at the king. Keep looking at the general. He will direct your paths. Put your trust in him. He is the God that never lies and never fails. Be strong. Be courageous. Be confident and bold in Jesus Christ. Encourage each other. Get alongside people. Help them on their way. Be joyful. Why? Because the reward is coming. The best reward of all, an eternity spent with the Lord in heaven. A place where our trials and tribulations are over. No more sorrow, no more tears. Finished. It's a time of joyful worship before the King of Kings. So, wash the tribulations of this life in the blood of the Lamb. He is the purifier. He has overcome the world, and thus I am an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. A word like that needs a response. it's a significant word, and I think for some of us it's going to be a prophetic word. It's a word that God's going to bring back to mind at some stages in the future. But just let's bow our heads for a moment. Always taken by that little saying, you know, why rely on the Lord when you can worry? And what we've heard this morning is the answer to that. But if there is a situation in your life, a situation perhaps related to your work, a situation related to family, relationship issue, health issue, money issue, if you're going through a stressful time about any of those things, and I think God is saying to you this morning, then let's take the word of God that we've heard this morning, let's begin to apply it in that situation. So I want those, if God is just bringing those particular worries to the surface in your, as you wait now quietly, I want us just quietly in our own hearts to say, Lord, I receive what you've said this morning as a word to me of encouragement in that situation, this trial, this difficulty, this uncertainty that I'm going through. You're with me in it. You will work it out for good and not for evil. Strengthen me in it. And help me to keep my eye on the reward, and not on the current difficulty. And one of the ways that we encourage one another is that we share testimony. Because I know that folk have been through trials and difficulties and really stressful things which God has brought them through, and that's why it's important to hear what Paul said as well about encouraging one another and sharing with one another from our own experience. So again, let's just ask the Lord to help us to be sensitive to those opportunities that we have of sharing from our own experience to encourage and to help others in their time of trial and difficulty. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is not an academic, philosophical thing, but it's a living word that helps us to live life, Father. We know that we are far from perfect, but we thank you for reminding us this morning that we have a perfect Heavenly Father whose desire is to show his love and his mercy and his grace to us as we journey through this life, Father. And we pray, Father, that we will put our hands out and take your hand and say, thank you, Father. Continue to walk with us. We want to continue to walk with you in spite of the pressures and the difficulties that we may be going through. And we thank you, Father, for that assurance that your love is eternal and that you are faithful and true to every word that you have spoken. So we commit ourselves to you, Lord, for this week, for our work, for our family life, for our journeys, for our holidays, whatever it may be. We commit ourselves to you, Father. We commit our relationships to you. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to keep this word alive and fresh in our hearts, because it is from you and it's a prophetic word that we need to hold and to dwell on. So we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.